Mark chapter number 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And the call of the blind man said unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. If the Lord be my helper this morning, I'm going to preach to you for a little while on the subject of blind Bartimaeus. When you see this story, this is probably one of the most popular stories in the Word of God about the healing of a blind man. And you see the Lord Jesus here as he starts out in Jericho. Jericho was an accursed city. And that city of Jericho is a perfect picture this morning of the fallen condition or the fallen depravity of man. Over in the book of Joshua chapter 6 verse 17, Joshua said, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord." When you get down to verse 26, Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that raiseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. And he shall lay the foundation thereof, and his firstborn and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." Now what this is this a prophecy and a cursing and saying the man that tries to raise up the city of Jericho after God's cursed it and shut her down, this man's going to pay for it in his own children. If you look in the book of 1 Kings chapter 16, verse number 33, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." Verse 34, "In his days of Heliath the Bethelite built Jericho, and he laid the foundation thereof in Abraham, his firstborn. And he set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun." This morning, in spite of all of man's good works and in spite of all of man's achievements, his religious rigors and accomplishments, this flesh is still rejected by God. This Adamic nature is still cursed by God, and it doesn't make any difference what kind of good things you do. You will not change God's mind about the curse he's put on mankind. When man sinned in the garden, God told Adam, "The day you eat of the fruit thereof, ye shall surely die." And he died spiritually in that garden that day. And there's nothing man can do to repair that. Amen. When you're dead in trespasses and sins, you're accursed from God and you're separated from fellowship with God. And there's nothing but the propitiation of the death, burial, and resurrection and atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that'll ever take care of that. With Jericho as the background this morning, we see blind Bartimaeus sitting by the wayside, begging for a little bread, and in his poverty, we see blind Bartimaeus in the lowest estate of human flesh this morning, forced to live in a deplorable condition and destitute of common necessities of life, sitting by the wayside, depending on somebody else to help him. This morning, folks that sit in this building that are lost today, you're destitute this morning of any joy, of any peace, of any satisfaction, of any comfort. And you can live your life and you have no God. You have no peace. And there's things missing in your life. And you might not even understand this morning what's missing. This blind man is a perfect picture of the lost humanity of man. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. Word of God says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Let me ask you a question this morning, Flint Hill Baptist Church. What makes you think you're in the right way? What makes you think you have eyesight this morning? Can you see? I mean, have you been brought to the place where one day you were absolutely profoundly blind and you were dumb and there was things you couldn't see, and one day God came by and touched you and you could see things you never saw before? I'm asking you, can you see this morning? A lot of people say, I feel saved. A lot of people say, oh, I think I'm saved. A lot of folks say, well, I believe I'm saved. I know a lot of people that believe the Bible this morning. But the reason they believe it's because they ain't never read enough of it to find out there's a bunch of stuff in this book they don't believe.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of folks this morning that think a whole lot of things. A lot of folks think they know God. You know why? They've never been around enough of the blessed Holy Ghost of God to show them they don't know God. Hey, there's a lot of things. See, blind Bartimaeus had some natural senses, and your natural senses this morning ain't seeing. You may be feeling, you may be hearing, you may be thinking, but I'm asking you this morning, can you see? Blindness causes a natural caution in men to want to feel and grope around, you know that? There is a natural inclination when a man or a woman can't see where they're going. They want to stick their foot out slow and easy. They'll put their hand up in front of them to try to find something. And one of the greatest dangers this morning to a blind man is to think you know your surroundings when you really don't. That overconfidence causes men to run recklessly, headlong, thinking they know the way when they really don't know where they're going or what they're doing. Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 14. The Lord Jesus is talking to His disciples. The Pharisees are mad at the Lord, and the disciples are telling Him how aggravated the Pharisees are. And the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 14, "Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch." For years and years, many church members, like sheep, led to the slaughter, have been led down a path of destruction by blind prophets that could hoop and holler and cry and snot and carry on and could suck wind and hack, but they did not know God. Hey, he that hath ears, let him hear this morning. There's folks that sat in this building for years, and you was led down a path to destruction. Just because men are vocal and outgoing and charismatic, the spiritually ignorant think they must be spiritual icons. Just because somebody can stand up in front of folks and talk, they'll say, praise God, make him a deacon. Just because somebody's got good business sense or can do this or they can read halfway right, praise God, make them a Sunday school teacher. No, sir. You look for somebody that's got God on them. They've got the presence and the anointing and the power and the Spirit of God in their life. And see, our churches today have sent multitudes to hell because of having leadership in Baptist churches. Didn't know God. Wouldn't have known Him if they met Him in the middle of the road. But you know what? I thank God this morning for those that are beginning to slow down long enough to find out you even got a problem. I've watched folks in the last few weeks get cautious. I mean, they've got to feeling around and they've got to figuring out that everything that says Jesus don't love God. And why are some folks even in church this morning? Why do some folks even listen to those CDs or go to revival services? Why? I'll tell you why. It's because some folks are beginning to slow down and realize, hey, I ain't sure I know where I'm at. I better feel this thing out. When you see the Lord Jesus here, you see Him on His final journey. He's going from Jericho unto Jerusalem to be crucified. This is the last roundup. This is the last opportunity blind Bartimaeus has got to get in. And he realizes there's something different about this. And he heard it was Jesus. And suddenly this man, blind Bartimaeus, began to cry with a loud voice, "Thou Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And I tell you what, the more he cried, the louder he got. He said, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, would you come back and help me?" And in absolute desperation, his cry. But you know why he cried in desperation? That's all he could do. That's the only thing he knew how to do, and that's what he did. He lost every bit of dignity that a blind beggar could have had that day. I mean, there's a multitude of people, the Word of God said around. It didn't bother him a bit. He just got to squalling out, "Jesus, I got to have some help."
Yeah.
And that crowd gagged three rows back. They said, "Would you shut up? you're messing up our dignified procession here. Would you just be quiet? Praise God, don't be calling on him like that. You know what? They didn't mind the least bit for him to be religious. They didn't mind the least bit for him to have a false profession like they had. But they said, you don't have to get so fanatical about this thing. I mean, you ain't got to jump up every time you get a chance to go to testify. You ain't got to sit around when the preacher goes to preaching and stream tears and sling snot and raise your hand. All that kind of, you don't have to do all that. They were outwardly followers of Jesus. They got upset when this whole boy got to calling on him. You know who they told him it was, Miss Diane? They said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. But that ain't what he cried. He said, thou son of David. There's a great big difference. You know the difference this morning? Son of David is a messianic title for the Son of God. Jesus of Nazareth means a man from Nazareth. Thou son of David means a man from heaven. He got to know it. That's something different about this. He knew something already they didn't know. They didn't call him the son of David. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. And he realized, praise God, he was getting a hold of something that they did not have a hold of. There's some of you in these last few weeks, the last few months, you've begun to got a hold of something that folks around you ain't got a clue what you're talking about. They said that Jesus of Nazareth, you know, no son of David. Praise God, he's God in the flesh. And it bothered them. And the biggest obstacle this blind man had getting to Jesus Christ was the religious community. And all that crowd is following him, Brother James, was religious followers. And they're the very catbirds got in his way of trying to get to Jesus. This morning, one of the greatest obstacles sinners have got to getting to Jesus is the religious world around you. But I guarantee you something this morning, and I say this in humility and honesty. If you're here this morning, it don't make any difference who you are, what you are, what you said you are, what you thought you was. This morning, there's folks in this building that would cheer for you, they'd cry for you, they'd pray for you. There's folks sitting in this building this morning, pick you up and carry you to the feet of Jesus if they had an opportunity to. They wouldn't laugh, they wouldn't mock, they wouldn't make fun, and they would not tell you to shut up. Boy, I tell you what, there's something special. God's been so sweet and precious to me. In these last few weeks, I've had the blessed privilege of seeing folks get down in the floor and squall like a baby and cry and wail. And they didn't care who was looking, just saying, Jesus, would you save me? Would you help me? Thank God for somebody to get to that place. Why didn't Jesus stop the first time he cried out? Jesus kept going, he kept crying. You know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was saying, if he's serious about this thing, Jesus was saying, do you really want some help? Hey, there was a whole lot of times in my life I prayed and I didn't get the relief that I needed. You know what Jesus was doing? He was getting me to the place where I really needed the help. You know there's going to be some services you come in and you ain't going to get to worship like you want to worship. Do you know that? There's going to be a lot of services that I come in, Preacher Wesley, and I will not have the liberty to preach like I want to. I mean, I've seen times I sit down there at my little old desk and I like to tore my office down and shouting and crying, and God was blessing my soul with the Word of God, and I come in this pulpit locked up tighter than Dick's hat band. There's times, new converts, you listen to what I'm saying, there's times you can pray and you'll open your mouth and it'll seem like heaven will drop in your lap. And there'll be times that you'll pray and it'll seem like you can't find God nowhere. Do you know why that is? God's wanting to find out, are you serious about this thing? Hey, if God just showed up every time we opened our mouth, we'd get to take that for granted and think we had something to do with it. But God will let us get to a place where we got a need. And sometimes God will let a sinner get to begging around, scratching around, pleading around a little while before he saves them to let them see how bad they really need him. And to show him how much they really want him. And Jesus saw this earnest plea and he stopped. There's never been a man ever went to hell really wanting to get saved. Because you can't really want to get saved unless God works that in your heart. And the Word of God said, he calleth thee. That's not the time to run when God begins to call you. When God begins to deal with you, ain't the time to run. You know why? Because that just shows he cares.
He loves you and He cares about you. He's not trying to embarrass you. He's not trying to hurt your feelings. He's trying to show you how much He loves you and how much He cares about you. The most significant historical event in history past was just about to take place. The Lord Jesus Christ was walking up the hill from Jericho, up the Jericho Road to Jerusalem to be crucified. Think about that. The most significant historical event as far as humankind's concerned that ever took place was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It changed every life in the entire world, whether people know it or not. And with that just about to take place, Brother James, and the multitude that followed Him and the multitude that was going to Jerusalem for the Passover, the Lord Jesus Christ cared enough about one little old blind boy that He stopped. Right in the middle of the most important historical event, the most important theological, religious event that ever took place, Jesus stopped. Took care of the problem of a little blind boy. I want to tell you something this morning. I say this with reverence and I say this with fear. I've had the opportunity in the last 15 or so years of ministry to see some unusual moves of God. And it's been a while since I've seen any real big move of God. Some folks say God really stopped moving in those big ways the last time, probably sometime in the 1980s. But in these last few weeks, my pastor has been with his pastor. And his pastor's been preaching a tent meeting in the western part of the state of North Carolina. And I heard a report yesterday or the day before that some 200 souls have been saved in the last few weeks in western North Carolina. They said 60 some. The power of God failed. I believe it was Tuesday night or Thursday night. The power of God failed and some 60 some souls got saved on that one night. Brother Winkler that stood in this pulpit A few months ago on a fifth Sunday and preached on the prodigal son. Brother Winkler is one of God's choicest men. And Brother Chad, have you been listening to that? And I've talked about that, and some of you know about Myrtle, Mississippi. Dr. Percy Ray and Camp Zion. One of the greatest moves of God that's ever been was Camp Zion. And old Percy Ray had so much of the power of God on him that God told him to go build that camp. And he was in a ditch beside the road praying and begging God for money to go down there and build that camp. And while he lay there in the median praying and seeking God, a car stopped and a stranger got out and said, "God told me to give you $40,000. This past week, while Brother Larry Winkler was preaching in Myrtle, Mississippi, the power of God fell and 95 souls got saved in one night. What does that tell you? The most significant event about to happen in world human history is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on His way to the second coming, I believe with all my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ has decided to stop by one more time. How are you going to explain folks getting saved the way folks been getting saved? I'm not talking about these super Sunday school boys. I'm not talking about easy believism, just say a prayer. I'm talking about old-fashioned, snot-slinging, hellfire and brimstone Baptist preachers standing up, letting their ears back, preaching the counsel of this book. Folks getting under conviction and getting saved. Jesus is coming, buddy. You better be ready. And He commanded him to be called. You know what that means? God sent a preacher. That's what God does when God wants to do a work. He sends a preacher. He commanded him to be called. And the Word of God said, verse number 50, and he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You know what blind Bartimaeus did after he got to calling and squalling and crying and asking Jesus to stop? When he seen Jesus to stop, he peeled his coat off. That's probably everything blind Bartimaeus owned in the whole world. And he peeled that off and chucked it, buddy, and left her laying and run after Jesus. That's a type of folks are laying aside their false religion, their false professions, their little do-nothing that never helped them, never gave them no peace, never gave them no joy, never gave them no worship, never gave them no love of Christ in their soul. And he took it off and he run to Jesus. When he got to Jesus, Jesus said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?"